Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned. Having grown up hearing different Bible stories, I remember very well being told over and over again about how the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt through the Passover and by crossing the Red Sea. A very interesting and exciting story to any young ears. And yet, as time has gone on and the Lord has been pleased to teach me, now looking back, I can see that there was a lot in that particular story of the crossing of the Red Sea that I had not been taught. And it's been as the Lord has begun teaching me over the years that I have seen what was the missing element. You see, it's more than a story. It's a history or a biography concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and how it is that He is pleased to save sinners such as we are. And that's why we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, a saying to do, were drowned. Now, in this one verse, we have a contrast that may not be evident on the surface to your mind. You see, it starts off and says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. What is the faith here? Well, we know that it's more than just personal believing, because we know in reading the story of Israel that there were many in Israel who crossed the Red Sea that did not believe. In fact, Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2 tells us, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So when it says by faith they passed through the Red Sea, it certainly is not speaking of all of the children of Israel. There were many unbelieving among them, just like in any congregation today, even in my own, where the gospel is preached. I don't know the hearts of those who come to hear, and that's not for me to judge, but my responsibility is to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to set it forth. And I know that those that are the Lord's, they will hear. The Spirit of God will cause them to look to Christ and believe. But here in Hebrews 11, verse 29, by faith, faith is objective here. You could say by Christ, because faith's true object is the Lord Jesus Christ. So by Christ, or for Christ's sake, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Here was a history that God was bringing to pass that would serve as a type and picture of His Son, and how it is that He has been pleased to save sinners through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the contrast between the faith mentioned in verse 29 at the beginning and the Egyptians, where it says, a saying to do, were drowned. That word a saying there means to make every effort, to make every endeavor to cross through, just like the children of Israel did. And yet, in so doing, they drowned. What we have here is a contrast between faith and works, or Christ and his work, and the works of men. The righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ has worked out on behalf of his people, and that which men, even some who consider themselves to be very good people, yet a righteousness that they're endeavoring to work out by the law. And the conclusion is that any, like these Egyptians, who essay or attempt to enter in of their own works, they will certainly be destroyed. Faith here, dear friend, is synonymous with grace. By grace, they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. And I believe that's the point here. It's a type of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, that is the elect, were brought out of Egypt, those that God the Father has chosen and given to his Son. How did they come out of Egypt? But by the Passover lamb. In fact, the verse previous speaks of that in Hebrews 11:28. Through faith, he kept the Passover. That is, Moses did. He ordained it, and he oversaw it. He made sure that it was accomplished exactly as God had commanded. Of course, Moses there is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so we see him making sure that that lamb was slain, the blood shed, because that served as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lamb slain, whose blood was shed for the salvation of his people. And the sprinkling of blood, that which was put on the doorposts, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So all of this is a type of Christ. But this was done by faith, or in accord with that revealed body of truth concerning Christ and his death, to which this type pointed. In fact, all types point. And therefore it serves as an example of God's great work of salvation for his elect. Now what I want to do is go back to the original passage of this story in Exodus chapter 14. And I want to read for you verses 22 through 29. And I would ask you to listen quietly and silently as I read the Word of God. What's most important here is not my word, but the Word of God. And here in Exodus chapter 14, in verses 22 to 29, we have this narrative that is spoken of in Hebrews 11:29. And I want you to see several things from this particular passage that will teach us of the great work of redemption that is in Christ Jesus. First, we're going to see how it was that they passed through the Red Sea. And then we're going to see how this deliverance was full, free, and final. So let me begin reading here in Exodus 14, beginning with verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. God was making a separation between Israel and Egypt, just as he's done by his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's made a difference among sinners. There are those that he's purposed to save and those that he has purposed to pass by. And verse 20 of Exodus 14 says, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. Again, a distinction. This message of the gospel that I declare to you, for some it's darkness. As they hear it, they scratch their heads and wonder, how could anybody ever believe such a message? And the reason is, you've been taught all your lifetime that somehow your salvation has to do with something you do. And so this message of light which gives God all the glory, which declares that if any sinner is saved, it is God that does the saving, and it is Christ's death that does the redeeming. It's His work, not yours. It's His sacrifice, not your sacrifices. That's the light of the gospel. But to many, it's darkness. They will not hear. Their ears, their hearing is hardened, and so they do not hear. And that's what we see, this cloud of distinction that was put between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it says that the distinction was such that the one came not near the other all the night. And then verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. You see again here a clear testimony as to how it is that sinners are delivered. It says the Lord caused the sea to go back. There's a great gulf fixed between the sinner and God. All of His glory and honor and majesty and holiness and righteousness, there's none that can approach thereunto unless the Lord be pleased to open the way. And we know that according to the testimony of Scripture, He has opened the way. It's through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, salvation is of the Lord. Now we read in verse 22 of Exodus 14, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. That's a picture of the wall of salvation. When the Lord is pleased to save the sinner, He holds back every obstacle, every opposition, anything that would stand in the way. There's none that can stay God's hand or say to Him, what doest thou? And every one that He has purposed to save most certainly shall be saved. But we read here in verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued. Here's the relationship with Hebrews 11:29. They essayed, they endeavored to enter in, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. You see how powerful and strong and mighty and sovereign God is, either in salvation or in His judgments. None can escape. But the children of Israel, and I love that, but what a contrast. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And here's the grand summary, verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So let's see what we can learn about how it was that they passed through the Red Sea. It says in Hebrews 11:29, the scripture commentary on this narrative, that by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Now this was not just a river, or as some suggest that it was during the dry season and therefore an easy venture for them to get across. As we read in verse 21, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. So we see a great working of God, a situation where it would have been impossible for the children of Israel to get across otherwise had not God intervened. And so it is in salvation. Unless God is pleased to do the work from beginning to end, there is no salvation, nor shall there be. Our salvation as sinners is wholly dependent upon the Lord and the work that He's accomplished through His Son. And that's what we see with regard to them passing through the Red Sea. All of the responsibility for getting the children of Israel over was given to Moses. All of the instructions were given to Moses. In verse 21, he was commanded to stretch out his hand over the sea. Everything that the Lord did for this people, he did through a mediator. He brought them out. In other words, Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was so from the beginning, all the way back when they were still in Egypt, all the wonders and signs. God raised up Moses to lead this people forth. And so it is that they were brought out. The same is true, dear friend, of salvation. All of it is in the hand of a mediator. Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when the Pharisees withstood our Lord and said, "Well, we have Moses," our Lord said, "If you believe Moses, you would believe me, because he spoke of me." And that's how we read the scriptures. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 1 and 2, we see the same thing. As Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and some of these who knew and understood the Old Testament scriptures, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea." And it says here, "were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So in or by Moses, or by the hand of Moses, these things were accomplished. Now when it says they were all baptized unto Moses, what he's speaking of there is having followed Moses. And even as Moses went through the sea, so they went through. The same is true of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he died for us, when he died, we died. Christ spoke of his death as a baptism. It was a baptism of fire. And yet, as he laid down his life as the substitute for his people, those for whom he died also laid down their life in him. They were judged in him. Even water baptism is a type and picture of the Lord's death. This is why we practice immersion, because it represents the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone dies, you don't just sprinkle a little dirt on him and say, "Well, they're buried." No, you bury them. And so it is with water baptism. It shows our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, but also resurrection. When one comes forth out of the water, that is a type and picture of Christ having come forth out of the grave. And when he did, it's a testimony that we also, in him, did come forth. He was put to death for our offenses, but he was raised again for or because of our justification. He so thoroughly finished the work that when he came forth, all for whom he died were justified, acquitted, declared righteous because of his obedience unto death. So you see these types are all throughout the Scripture. But it says here, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud and the sea represent then the very person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cloud that separated the children of Israel from the Egyptians, that cloud which was the Shekinah glory, which dwelt over the mercy seat in the tabernacle, that cloud that led them, all of the children of Israel were immersed into that cloud. They were covered by it and identified with it. And so again, how is it that God can look with favor upon any sinner? Is it not through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone? And that cloud, understood separately from the sea, represents the very presence and person of the Lord Jesus in God's forbearance. And then the sea, it was a foretelling of the judgment through which all of God's elect should go when the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down his life. The waters representing judgment. They certainly were, because when God withheld his hand and the waters covered the Egyptians and they drowned, and yet the Israelites passed through untouched. So you can say, well, why the difference? Well, God made the difference in his bringing them through that sea on dry land. It was a paved road. It was done for them and done because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those in the Old Testament, until Christ actually came and put away their sin, and those that were given the Spirit to look to Christ in his day, God was forbearing with them. And that's certainly what we see in this cloud, in the holding back of the sea. God withheld judgment from them because he had purposed that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, should bear it on their behalf. And so it is that they were saved. But the day has come now when the Lord Jesus Christ has come. It's not Moses, but it's Christ. And it's not being baptized unto Moses, as in the type and picture, but having been baptized unto Christ. Not speaking there of water baptism, but in his death, having been immersed in that death with him and brought through the other side. And it's by grace that we're saved. So that's how it is that they crossed the Red Sea. Now, the second point that I would have you to consider is how this deliverance was full. It was free, and it was final. That's the way God works. Not one of those that were brought up out of Egypt died. The Lord saw to it that every one was brought through safe and sound. And that's certainly a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as they followed Moses, the mediator, and the ground on which they walked was literally paved before them, so it is in the salvation worked for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing to trap our feet or give us fear of being stuck in the quagmire of the river bottom. Christ has fulfilled it all, every jot and tittle of the law. every argument or obstacle or ordinance against the sinner for whom Christ died, Christ has removed. Now notice in this story that the believing of the children of Israel was the result or effect of the deliverance that was worked out on their behalf. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 31, we see that clearly stated. It says, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." How is it that any of us is going to believe? Is it not when the Spirit of God causes us to see the great work which the Lord has done on behalf of sinners such as we are through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and seeing that if He paid for our sin, if He laid down His life for us, then God is satisfied. And when we see that, by God's grace, we're caused to believe. It's not our believing that is the cause of our salvation, but our believing is the result of the Spirit of the Lord Himself opening our hearts to see the great work which the Lord did upon our enemies. Here it says that Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. Even as the Egyptians were Israel's enemies, who are our enemies? Is not the law against us? Is not our sin against us? Is not Satan, the world? All of these things would condemn us. But if Christ has died, then there's therefore now no condemnation. That's why one of my favorite portions of Scripture is found in Romans chapter 8, where it clearly states, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." So in conclusion, do you see how this work of salvation is exclusively for those that the Lord has purposed to save, and that their deliverance is full, free, and final? In Hebrews 11:29, it says that the Egyptians assaying or trying or attempting to cross were drowned. The Scriptures tell us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, in Titus 3 and verses 5 and 6. You can think of who these Egyptians were. Pharaoh, with all of his might and power, his numerous army, all pursuing to follow after the children of Israel, and yet they could not enter in. They were drowned. And I'm confident of this, that unless the Lord Himself saves us, none will be saved. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has accomplished that work of salvation, full, free, and final, through His shed blood on your behalf, there is no other way. All of your attempts, all of your efforts, all of your trials to follow after, and even in some outward profession identify with the Lord's people, will only end in condemnation. The whole sum of salvation, dear friend, is in the Lord, and it's in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may He, by His Spirit, give you eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to believe.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.